I don't think the devil wanted this word spoken today, because I felt absolutely lousy all week. If I was in my normal self, I would have probably ducked out of church today and stayed in bed. But I felt a lot better since coming here this morning. I just believe God has a word to speak to this church, and I want to be faithful in giving that word today. And today's going to be slightly different because we have our AGM today, and in normal occasions we would do the word and then we would break for coffee and tea. Refreshments, those people who had to go could go, and I just felt really sort of so sad that on many occasions people went at the end of it. We came to the AGM to share our hearts with where we see the church going, that there wasn't everybody here. So I've tricked you this week, no, I don't mean that in that sense. I just want to read you the statement here today. I want you to envision you for this year ahead. It's actually not for the year ahead; it's for the future. And then we will then break for coffee, come back, and if any questions, and we do the financial report, and it should be quite a short session after. For the AGM itself. But I just really felt it's important that as we look to the future, that we look to the future together. I'm going to ask Duncan as well. He doesn't know yet, but I'm going to ask him if he'll do pass a couple of discs for next week for those people that weren't here, that they could actually have a copy of this word. I think it's an important word for us as a church. So the first part of it's going to be, I'm going to be reading out the statement I would have normally read at the AGM. And then I want to just be sharing a word that I really feel God's laid on my heart to do with this for us as a fellowship and how we move forward together. It goes like this. 2013 was again another amazing year for Wellspring. Lots of opportunities to serve each other and in our community. I believe we rose to the challenge magnificently. Thank you all for standing with us and supporting us, blessing us, and for reaching out and touching lives with the love of God. Last year saw some amazing highs and lows. We achieved much and responded wonderfully to some very difficult situations. Losing dear Roger and Jean was a blow to us as a church, as they were the first deaths we had to deal with. As pastors, we saw amazing responses from the church body. It was indeed wonderful to see our church family in action, meeting needs, standing in the gap, praying and ministering together to bring hope and help to those in need. Our goal was to continue to reach into and bless our community last year in whatever way we could. The vision of the church is to reach, to teach, to mobilise, to use every available opportunity to reach every available person with the love of God. That stands year on year on year, that never changes. But how we do that, maybe it needs tweaking from time to time. And as I said, our goal was to reach into the community. We did this. We held two quiz nights, a film night, and Wellspring. Wanderers has proved to be a great tool to speak into the lives of unsaved people. When I sat there yesterday around breakfast with the amount of people that came, I don't care whether you came for the food or for the walk, it doesn't make any difference. We came together as a family. To eat together, and some people we didn't know, certainly some people I didn't really know, and it was good to spend time talking with them. The walking group is a real success story. We thank Phil for his efforts and planning for these events. We also held our Victory Spain conference with Pastor George and Hazel. Had a great day at Martin and Christine's for the Kasuma Garden Party fundraiser. And what a terrific event that was. We distributed free water at the Campus of Fiesta. Bless many, except for the guy at Ali Pali. But there you go, that's a different story. On the run-up to Christmas, we with our four carol concerts on Camposol, we drew out several hundred people to sing with us. We aimed at finally completing the building work at the church by installing the wheelchair door. This we did. And we got the outside of the building repaired following the removal of the ramp that we were forced to remove. Missions, as you've heard this morning, always feature high on our aims. And we now sponsor a young girl at the Kasumu Victory Orphanage. And I've responded financially to the needs of people in the Philippines after the disaster that struck the islands. We continue to raise funds to support the Kasuma Orphanage and thank Pete for his tireless work, keeping us informed about the missions work of Victory around the world. As a leadership, and this is the nitty-gritty bit, as a leadership team, we see 2014 as a year of personal growth. I put the word breakthrough in brackets. If we grow in God individually, we believe that Wellspring will grow corporately. The theme for Victory Christian Centre UK, our home church in the UK, is better before bigger. And along with this theme, we want to provide opportunity at Wellspring for everyone to grow and mature in God during the year. With this in mind, we plan to start in April a new Bible school called School of the Word. For those of you who remember, a few years ago we ran a Bible school called School of the Spirit. And that was really, I thought, quite successful. It had run its season. And I really believe now we need to get into this Word, coupled with the Holy Spirit, to go where God wants us to go. So this new Bible school called School of the Word will provide an opportunity each month to study God's Word together. And Pat will be sharing over the next couple of weeks about the school and how you can be getting involved. And even for people, I believe, that are away periodically, I believe that this is something that you can do. And we aim to get it online and whatever, so you can actually follow it there. But it's important. And as we go through scriptures together, it's not going to be an easy peasy thing. And maybe you're going to be required to perhaps give a little report at the end of the month. It's not going to be meetings every week. It's going to be once a month meeting, just to plan for the next month's study and what we're going to be doing, and just sharing together. Opportunity to see where what we've learned and how we go on. It's really important, I believe, to get into God's Word. We're going to do this. And one of the ways is going to be through the School of the Word. We'll also be starting a monthly breakthrough group. I'm really excited about this, which will initially be meeting in homes. If it gets too big, we'll have to come into the church. I'll be teaching on worship for a very short time each session. And we'll be worshipping together, ministering to each other, and breaking through to a higher level of relationship with the Father. I really believe it's important that we go to a higher level and step up. And I'm going to be teaching on worship, something I wanted to do for many years, but I want to be teaching on worship rather than the worship team, to the church body, because we're all called to be worshippers. I'm Andrew Fisher, worshipper, not specifically pastor. Phil Hogger, worshipper, not specifically treasurer. Whoever you are today, we're all called to be worshippers, people who come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of all lords. We're called to be worshippers. We really need to know what it is to worship, how to worship, what to expect in worship, and all of these things we'll go through in the months ahead. I'm really excited about this. I want to see God manifested through His Holy Spirit. I want to see lives touched. I want to see bodies healed. I want to see people set free. I want to see us doing things we've never done before. So when we come into church and things happen, we'll say, wow, this is just as it always is. This is how it should be. This is what it's all about. This is how the church is working. And I really believe that as we get to grips with worship, as we get to grips with moving in the gifts of the Spirit, then we will as a church move forward together. My heart's desire last year, if you can remember from the last year's AGM, was to see the church opened up and used during the week for a meeting place where folk could come and get together for a cup of tea or coffee and a chat. It was one thing that didn't happen last year. Not all of our plans happen. This is something that never happened. And the desire has not left me. And while I was in Australia on holiday, God spoke into my heart and challenged me to move forward and to raise the bar a little. Not just, and I thought, well, Lord, it's not even happened. Why do you want me to raise the bar? And he said, I just need you to raise the bar. And this is what he challenged my heart with, to move forward by offering an advertising of this place, perhaps for just one day a week, perhaps for just a few hours, from 10 till 2 or something. One day a week, but it's not going to be about me. And it's not going to be about the leadership team. It's going to be about every one of us working as a team to make this thing happen. And I just see it being a place for prayer, a place where people can come to be ministered to, as something we can advertise in the local paper. I see many of our churches around the world going out in the marketplace and sticking out a chair, and saying, come and sit here, we'll pray for you and minister to you. Well, Spain, it may not work exactly that way with the language barrier, but we can certainly advertise and we can do things and say, this place will not only be a place we can come to for a coffee and a chat and a cup of tea and just do when we're in the port, but it also can be a place where we can meet and someone can pray for you, somebody can minister to you, and I really feel that maybe that this prayer bit is the raising the bar, but maybe it's the key to me and to you for raising our bar and saying, I could do that. I could come here. I could be part of that. I could be part of that thing, you know, that you're talking about this morning. So I'm sharing my heart with you there. God really challenged me while I was away that this needs to be progressed. And it's not something that put to one side. It wasn't just put there a year ago just to be thought about and forgotten. It's there for a reason. So I'm just challenging you as a church. Do you feel that you could be part of that? You know, do you feel it may be, you know, throughout the year as we get closer to God, as we get to know his heart more, maybe he's going to release us in areas. I couldn't pray for the sick. Who said you can't pray for the sick? Who's told you you can't pray for the sick? If you love Jesus, you're all equipped to pray for the sick. And so, you know, and as I speak in a few minutes' time, my message, it's going to be a challenge to us. You know, who's told you? Who determines who you are? Other people, or does God determine who you are? So often we take advice of other people. We don't take advice of what the Holy Spirit is speaking into our hearts. So my heart's desire to see this place open one day a week for a few hours, manned by people who will serve tea, for people to come and congregate together, come for a coffee, free of charge. This is our home mission. This is what we want to do. We want to touch our community. And I believe that if we will step out, I really believe that people will come. And I believe that people, and this will be known for a place where you can come and people will minister to you. Don't want to know all the situations, but just come. Let's pray for you. Pray for God's best in your life. You know, could you do that? Could you raise yourself to that challenge? It can't be done, as I said, by just us. We tried it a few years ago. We opened it at Bolnuevo. There's no people there in Bolnuevo. There's a lot more people around here. But just because it didn't work then, it doesn't mean to say it's not going to work now. Maybe this is God's timing for it to work, but we can't do it. It's not going to be an Andrew and Wendy show. It's going to be a Wellspring thing. It's going to be a place where people can come and to be ministered to. Not just a Sunday. People may find Sundays a bit too, but maybe just to come and sit in the back room one-to-one and just have a chat and, you know, just to share. God also spoke to me while I was away. It was a very direct word into my heart. The pastor of the church we attended in Australia on our very first visit. This is a big church. This is 700-800 people. And we could walk in and out and really not even, people perhaps didn't know we were there. But God spoke to my heart the very first time that we visited there. The very first sentence to come out of the pastor's mouth in Perth, Australia was the words of Psalm 68, 6a. And it actually says there, God sets the lonely in families. Church, you know, God sets the lonely people in families. And we need to be there to welcome and receive and to minister into those lonely people's hearts. In the preceding verse, which spoke about being a father to the fatherless and defender of widows, just really spoke to me. It goes on to say that it leads the captive out with singing, with rejoicing. You know, this is what church is all about. This is what God wants to do with the people of our neighbourhood and around here. He wants to bring those that are bound, the drug addicts. He wants to bring those that are sick. He wants to bring those that are struggling, those that are bound up with all sorts of things and no confidence. He wants them to be released into what he's called them to be. That can happen here. It can happen here during the week, just in a few minutes. As somebody walks in through that door and says, I just want someone just to pray for me. You know, can you be that person? Can you welcome the lonely people? We already have a great influence with funerals, the services that we do with people around the area. And I really believe that another area that we need to develop, what happens afterwards. We need to take it up a step. I believe it's a ministry. I believe Wellspring is a place where the lonely can come to. But I believe we need to open this up far bigger than it is at the moment. Maybe God's leading you about those who are suffering loss. Perhaps your ministry lies in this area. Our church has to be a safe place for the fatherless, the bereaved, the lonely. And maybe this ties in with the opening of the building during the week. I speak to the leadership. Feel drawn to be part of this brand new ministry of Wellspring Church. Speak to us. Speak to me. We aim to develop Wellspring Wanderers. And by including, perhaps this year, some special more difficult walks I know there's some people that come with us on the walks that used to really sort of say, well, that's the warm-up, you know. But we pitch it on our monthly walk just so anybody really could join in with us. We don't want to be exclusive, but maybe, Phil and I already spoken about it, maybe we need to tweak it a little bit and perhaps have an interim walk. This is a great way of getting alongside, rubbing shoulders with people who will come on a walk but won't come to church. But we need to now get them to help them to understand who we are and what we're about, and it's a wonderful way of doing it. So again, Boscombe Wanderers may be having some extra walks, perhaps a bit hill, more hilly, perhaps up in the Espunas or something, and just as a, you know, and it's quite exciting about it. Good Friday, we're going to be doing our open air service again near the marina in Puerto de Matheron. Invitations will be shortly sent out to local fellowships to join in with us. Let's start thanking God, as already been prayed about this morning, in advance for a different reception this year by the local churches. Let's pray in advance and thank God in advance for those that will come and join with us on Good Friday as we stand there on the Paseo there and we proclaim who Jesus is as a family together. Not just as a Wellspring family, but as a corporate family together with other people joining in. It was great to have Open Doors with us last year, and let's pray this year that others will come too and be part of that. You know, if we can't stand shoulder to shoulder as Christians, then it's very, very sad if we can't do that. And so let's be praying for breakthrough amongst the churches around the area. We'll be organising more quiz evenings this year and also be holding a movie evening again. The first weekend of October will be the date of Wellspring's 8th anniversary celebrations. And on Saturday, the 4th, we'll be holding our Ladies' Conference, our Love Conference, Ladies of Victory Hispania, to kick off a great weekend together. Our speaker will be Christine Lewis from the UK, from our home church in the UK. Christine is an amazing Bible teacher. She's a writer and a songwriter. We sing some of her songs here in Wellspring. Our men will be having a day out together while the ladies meet for their conference, and I just encourage you, it promises to be a great weekend, not just for the ladies but for us. It's our great, it's our 8th, can you believe it, our 8th anniversary year. 8 years, you know, where have we gone, what have we done? I think we've achieved much, we have much yet to do, much yet to achieve. Put that date in your diary. In the run up to Christmas, we'll be again holding our carol concert on Camposol. We did a little sketch last year. I would love to see a group set up within the church and practiced and prepared that can reach out with little sketches and skits to the unsaved. I don't care how old you are. You know, this isn't just a young people's thing. You know, I think it's really important. And we are ministering mainly to people of our own age amongst the English speakers. And so it doesn't matter. You make a fool of yourself for God. And I just encourage you to do that. You know, maybe I'm just touching a few buttons today, speaking a few things. If it's you, I want you to speak to me. During last summer, we held, in the heat of the summer, we had weekly barbecues rather than our home groups, and this we'll probably do again this year. They proved to be really popular last year. If you want to host a summer barbecue meeting, come and see me, and we'll put your home down as a meeting venue point for in the summer. Heart of Hearts, we'd love to see home groups established on Condado, De Alama and Matheron Country Club in the not too distant future. Please be thanking God for now for his timing and the right venue for this thing to happen. With the loss of Will to the UK, we desperately need someone to operate the computer as part of a team. Doesn't mean you can do it every week, but you know, it'd be great to have a few people who are trained on the computer for doing the projection for us. If you can help there, please see Duncan as soon as you possibly can. And the last thing really is to say that to be in line with the end of our financial year, which is the end of December, we propose to bring forward next year's AGM to mid-January at the latest. So we're really in touch with where we are. Financial report, end of December. First couple of weeks of January, we'll do our AGM. So really, we're talking about bringing... Traditionally, we've done it in February, March. We want to bring it in line with our financial report, so it's all together. And we're actually envisioning the church in January, not in March, because a quarter of the year's already gone. And I think it's important that we bring that in line. Wendy and I want to thank Duncan and Pat, Phil and Carol, Cliff, Julia, Pete and Blynn for all the help over the past year as part of the leadership team. hours of work in the background every week, websites, newsletters, missions, notice sheets, advertising, accounts, message preparation, leading, hosting, sometimes just being dog's bodies. Thank you for playing your part. We've also seen many members of Wellspring shine this past year, standing in the gap, putting yourselves out, generally meeting needs as and when they arise. It's been glorious to watch it happen. It's been fantastic to watch it happen. Thank you for all your support, your love and prayers. And thank you for releasing Wendy and myself this year to be able to spend time on our 40th anniversary year with both sets of families. Now we're split in America and Australia. It's very, very difficult. This year's a special year for us. And we really enjoyed our time in Australia, and we're going to do the same in America, and really just pray for us as we financially try to get things together so we can do it. It's a huge undertaking for us to do, but God has always been faithful. God has always met our need, maybe in ways that we perhaps didn't understand or even think about, but God has been so faithful. You will never know how much being released this year to go and see family has meant to us. Last year I said that 2013 could be our year of breakthrough. Last week Pastor Andrew Toogood spoke a prophetic word over Wellspring that this year was going to be our year of breakthrough. Maybe I got it wrong, maybe he's got it right. God wants breakthrough in our lives, every single one of us. I believe it starts with us. And I believe that's the reason why we're pitching this year, so that we can grow and we can advance ourselves in God, so that we're able to do the things that he challenges us with. That's our statement. And when we broke for coffee, we'll come back. And any questions to that, prepared to answer. We'll also do the present the finance report to the church. Right, my message for today, and I've only got not long to do this yet, but I just wanted to share with you, and if you've got your Bibles with you, to turn to Psalm 68. And this was the thing, that very first message in a new church in Australia, and the first sentence this guy came out with from the platform was this, and he was presenting to his church their vision for the future, and he said that that this is the main thing that he wanted to be, and it struck such a chord in my heart as he spoke it. And it's found here in Psalm 68. And I want to read from verse 4. And it says, "Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing." Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, setting the lonely people in families, leading out the prisoners with rejoicing. This is what the word says there. That is what our God does. This is what he is about. This is his heart. He wants to be a father to the fatherless. He wants to be that defender of widows. He wants to be setting the lonely in families. And he wants to lead out the prisoners with singing and rejoicing. But he does it through you. And he does it through me. And that's, we are his hands and his feet here. And this is that's the basis of what I believe I want to just speak about today. If you turn with me from there to Isaiah 61. Very, very well known words. And this is what Isaiah wrote here some 740 years before Christ was born. He spoke out this messianic prophetic word, which hasn't yet been fully done, partially done in the coming of Jesus, but not fully done. And it says these words, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work in your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. That first bit is about what Jesus is going to do, and the second bit there, where it says they will rebuild the ancient. This is talking about what we're called to do, rebuilding ancient ruins, things that have long gone, been devastating things, devastated lives, broken people, broken hearts. God is calling us as a church to meet and minister into those people's lives. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Yes, it was a prophetic word about the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we have a part to play in this, because Jesus, if you turn to the end of Mark's Gospel, when he gives the Great Commission to go into the highways and the byways and reach out in the power of the Holy Spirit and touch people's lives and raise the dead and heal the sick and do all these things in His name. You know, this is the commission that God places upon every one of us, and it's so important to read that. I want to just take this little verse here, these verses here, these first couple of verses out of Isaiah 61, and let's move them right up to Jesus' time and go into Luke 4, Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, where Jesus himself used these words when he was in Nazareth, when he was in his home area. Luke 4, verse 14, I think. This follows after he'd been tempted in the wilderness, very tired, and you know, if we hadn't ate for 40 days, we'd probably be a little bit hungry ourselves. He went through all that, and basically just the preparation of his ministry here. And here he is, and it says in verse 14 of Luke 4, it says, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit." That's important key for today, in the power of the Spirit. Remember that as we go through. And then he went into the synagogue, and as it was custom, and he said, he stood up and read, and verse 17, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And Jesus went straight to this place here that we just read about, that was written 740 years before he was born. And he says these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." In other words, to proclaim salvation. But there's a comma there, if you look in the script. It doesn't go on from there. As we read in Isaiah, in the full prophetic word in Isaiah, Jesus stops there, because the rest goes to talk about when he will come again, his second coming. And there's a break there. But he goes up to where it's at. You know, we are so much more privileged, I suppose, than the disciples of this time when this was happening, because now we know the full thing. We know since the resurrection, we know since the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, and all of this has happened. So we are so in such a better position almost to understand that. So there we read this prophetic word in Isaiah all these years later, happening in Luke 4, where it's reported there, where Jesus used the same words, because they're talking about him. And then it says there that after he finished, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of everyone, it says, in the synagogue were on him. And he says to them today, in verse 21, "This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this has happened. It took 740 years for this to happen. I haven't got 740 years left. I've got a couple of years before I reach my retirement, my pensionable age. As I look around this room today, we're all pretty much in similar situations. You know, what are we going to do? What about those words that were spoken over you? What about those things that were spoken over you maybe many years ago you've never seen happen yet? Maybe it's God's time right now to see the fulfillment of those words. Maybe it's time for us to pick the scroll up and read it and sit down and say, today you've seen those things fulfilled in this place. Challenging you as the church today. And my final rule of scripture is John's Gospel, chapter 14. It follows on from Thomas asking to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? That's the famous verse there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is John 14, verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. This is the verse here. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And verse 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is crux coming now. This is the verses I want to home in on, that I want you to remember. And it says here, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will see me, not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That is a verse that God seared in my eyes yesterday, and I was just gobsmacked by it. I've read it so many times, but that is the key, folks, to growing in God, of knowing him. That is the key. He was telling his disciples, like, you know, Lord, you know, and he said, like, you, after all this time, you still don't know me? And this is why I believe as a church, we need to grow up in him. We need to really get to grips with who he is. Forgive me this morning. I'm speaking from my heart. God's challenged me. You know, I haven't got a lot of time left to speak these words. So why should I dilly-dally around? I need to be saying what God is putting in my heart. Time is short. None of us know what tomorrow will hold. The days and the years go by so quickly. And God has challenged us. God has brought us here to Spain for a purpose. We are here together in this place today for a purpose. And to a certain extent, you know, I just really feel that I don't want to hold anything back. I want to just give it as I see it in my heart today. Because I really believe that if we're going to make an impact in this area, we have to grow in God. We have to grow over the situations that keep cropping up within our lives, in our individual lives, and within a corporate lives as a church. You know, so many things seem to hit us and knock us down. We need to be able to go through those things. And I really believe that as we grow, as we develop, as we get to know who He is, the fact is that He is in the Father, and the Father is in us, and we are in Him, and we are all together. You know, that gives us such hope for the future. We're not by ourselves ploughing through. But we need to get to know who He is. Who are we? You know, what have people said about us? You know, are we carrying on that, holding on to that stuff which has just been baggage to us over the years? I don't know, I forget how many times we've spoken in this church about baggage and carrying baggage, but we still carry baggage around. And God said, I want to just rid you of the stuff. The important thing is that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in you, and you're in me, and we're together in this thing, and we can do this thing, and we can see it through, and we can get through this stuff. And yet, so often we carry bags. We need to learn what Jesus is saying here. He goes on in verse 25, and all this have I spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, you know, when I'm gone, He's going to come. He's going to show you all of these things. You know, and He's there talking about, you know, the fact is that, and He says, because I live, you will also live. Because they saw Him resurrected from the tomb, it was the key that they will live. They actually saw the resurrected Jesus. Well, we can't see that, but we have to go on what the Word says. You know, and the more I read this word, the more I realise how little I know about it. And little tiny gems of verses like that stand out and hit me in the face and said, this is what it's all about. Get to know me. Get to know me. Get to know me. In Luke 3:16, this is the revelation here, church, that John the Baptist spoke to his followers about. He said these words in Luke 3:16. John answered them. All when they were talking to him about this, about is there one to come and whatever, and he says, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Just reading through Acts of the Apostles while I've been away, and just things like, you know, that the questions were asked by the apostles to other believers they've come across, and whose baptism have you been baptized into? You know, we've been baptized into the baptism of John. You need to be baptized into the baptism of Jesus. You know, we totally believe in baptism in water, but oh, we believe in baptism of the Holy Spirit too. And we need that fire of God burning inside us to help us to do what God's called us to do. And I finished this morning by just saying, what is your level of hope this year? What is your level of hope? You say, what do you mean? Because hope is essential to faith. If we haven't got any hope, then we haven't got any faith. It's hard to have faith without hope. What is hope? When you look at the meaning, the New Testament meaning of hope, it's translated confident expectation of good. What is your confident expectation of good this year? What can you see? If we lose this confident expectation of good, fear takes over. And then we walk in the opposite. Under fear, we have a confident expectation of the worst happening. You know, and hope is the breeding ground of faith. And for many people, the loss of hope starts in childhood and often lasts a whole lifetime. I've met people who are in their 60s and 70s and are still struggling with the stuff that come from their childhood. Yeah. It's time to move on. It's time to ditch some of the stuff. And it's time to concentrate on who God says we are. Not who our father said we were. Or our mother says we were. Or Aunt Nellie said we were. Or the guy in the street when we messed up said we were. Or our neighbour said we were. What does the Father say about you? He says He loves you. He says you're precious. He says you're special. He says you mean everything to Him. That's why He sent His Son to die for you and for me. You know, Matthew 8:13 tells us I'm not going to go there for time's sake, but it says we need to become as little children. And I just want to just share this with you. It's really interesting. A survey was done, and it showed that very few adults were highly creative when this survey was done. It said that 95% of four-year-old children were listed as highly creative. The same survey also found that only 4% of seven-year-old children were created. What happened? Maybe they learnt what they couldn't do. Just maybe they learnt what they couldn't do. And sometimes schools tell you a lot to do with telling you what you can't do rather than what you can do. Who do we believe we are? Are you who men say you are? Or are you and am I the person that God says that we are? The Bible tells me that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. You said in John 14, 18 to 20, those amazing and challenging words. When you get home, read that again for yourself. Go to John 14, read those verses there. I'm reading it again now. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, on the resurrection day, you will realize that I am in the Father, in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. If we can get that in our spirit, you know, I can do all things through Christ. I mean that in the best possible way. I don't mean just do anything and because he's there, he'll do it. I mean to whatever we feel, however sick we are, however difficulties we have in our lives, whatever we have encroaching on our space, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Paul said that even through his infirmities and the things that got him and got him down, he was able to beat it, to go through it because of Christ. That's who we are. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. As I said, if we can truly understand these words, we will live the lives that we were created to live. And Wellspring Church will never be the same church again. That's my message this morning. I'm going to end it there. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back and any questions. And we'll do our financial report. If you can't stay, God bless you. But I pray those verses will just challenge your heart as to, you know, I just don't want to be the person that man tells me I am. I want to be the person that God tells me I'm not. I can't remember the words that that Andrew Toogood said, but maybe somebody can help me with that. But he spoke a similar word at the men's conference last weekend that says that, you know, that he wasn't determined by his name, Pastor Andrew. It didn't determine the job he did, didn't distinguish him before God, but who he was before God was the distinguishing thing. And we pray that in the year ahead that we will go on to greater things because we get to know the Father more and more and more. Hope I've challenged your heart this morning to really seek an end. And if I've spoken to your heart, or, you know, this church is open, you know, it grieves me that we pay the rent on this place every month. And we come here on a Sunday. I would love to see this church being used for more and more things. You know, and I really sort of, you know, it's not all our Maya. I can't come up with all the ideas. You have the ideas as well as me. So just nothing is impossible to our God. And if you have, if God's laid something on your heart, come and talk to me about it. I don't have all the answers, but maybe, you know, that God can do something with this place. You know, and I really believe that that this year is going to see the breakthrough for this building, that we actually start to see it used. You know, I want to pay the rent on it, but I want to see it used. You know, and so God bless you. Thank you for coming. And I pray that the words of that that portion of John's Gospel will stick in your heart, and you'll just realise that he is in you and you are in him, and the Father is in the whole thing. Praise. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for that this is a message of hope. Father, we have a hope in you that it can be unshakable. And I pray, Lord, that this year we will so grow in relationship with you. that, Father, the challenges that lie ahead, Father, we will be able to meet them day by day. I thank you, Father, that you have called us to be a people set apart. But Father, I pray that setting apart will not make us exclusive, but Father, it will make us inclusive in that. Because we're set apart to learn from you and know you, we're able then to go into the community and touch hearts and lives with the love of Jesus. We ask it in and through your precious name. Amen.